Mike, we're going to invite you to come. And as Mike is coming, Mike, I'm going to ask you, I don't know if you have this in your message or wherever, but we have a lot of new people here since the last time you were here. And maybe you could tell how Grace Calvary has been a part of your life and,
sure.
and your wife as well. Thank you. Amen. Let's give him a Thank warm you, welcome.
Okay, I'm good? Okay. I'm not used to microphones because at the Good Shepherd Mission, we kind of have a smaller chapel. So all you have to do is raise your voice. So sometimes I hook it up wrong, but the pastor hooked me up the right way. So first thing I'd like to do is just say one short prayer. So Father in heaven, you know it's my desire above all things that before all things are said and done this morning, that you would be glorified above all things. I ask that in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, for some of you who don't know who I am, years ago, my ministry was up in Patterson. I'd been 35 years, and my sister, she lived down in Toms River, and she knew a person named Joan, who is now my wife, and they worked in the same beauty shop. So my sister pulled that old let's fix him up because he needs a wife thing. And she was right. I had been single for a couple of years and in ministry, and I was just locked into doing ministry, and God knew I needed a wife. So we got together, obviously. She was a Christian woman, and she came into ministry with me, and in marriage, her daughter Susan, at that time, the first year of our marriage, was going to this church. So Susan got saved in this church, and then about 2 years later, me and Joan, we got baptized in this church. And I tell people all the time, my baptism really changed me. And so if you've ever been baptized in water, you really should be, because I know that for me, when I got baptized and went into the water, matter of fact, Joan and I, we got baptized together. How's that like for Valentine's thing, right? A together baptism. How much? And you know what? It really worked because it sealed us in our ministry together. So it really was a great experience. But I know when I got baptized, I wanted to come up out of that water and I wanted to live the resurrected life. God promised me that. And I really think that made a difference in my life. So we were baptized here. And ever since, we've been invited here by the pastor in the church, supported for all these years. And anytime anybody supports us, you should know that every time somebody gets saved there or changed like these people, it's because of you. I mean, when we all get to heaven, God is going to say, you were part of that. It wasn't just the hands-on work that we do, but of course, we all play a part. And as the body of Christ, I think we are credited for that in any way that we are involved in what God accomplishes. So real grateful for being here. I know that we don't have a lot of time, and I could have a lot to talk about in 35 years here, but I do want to get to the scriptures a little bit. And just so that you understand, you know, we do have another, we showed the both videos. You get a pretty good idea of where we're located in Patterson. Some of you may have come out of city environments, so you know it's not quite like around here. But you may be surprised that if I were to tell you in 2012, were there more ODs from drugs in Toms River or Patterson, where would you think there were more people being ODing on drugs? Toms River, right? So you go, whoa, Patterson's a terrible place. Well, it's just that it's more evident that it's terrible. But behind closed doors, we know that we live in a lost world, whether you're in Toms River, whether you're down here. It's just that Patterson makes it look worse. I mean, the environment and the attitudes are different when you get into that urban environment. Patterson was on the news last night, and this just goes to show you. They're showing these dogs, and I'm just thinking, we have a dog. You've seen our little puppy there, and there's a dog here. And they were leaving the dogs outside, and it's like 5-degree weather. And they asked the guy, you know, the dogs are outside, and the guy's answer was, yeah, what's the big deal? In other words, really not really conscious that dog is suffering in the freezing cold. They confiscated the dogs and they're going to arrest the guy. But that's the mentality kind of when you're in an environment where you just don't care about life as much and you're brought up in the wrong environment, wrong guidance in life. But that's what we deal with. But that's why Jesus came, right? Everybody needs to get saved. We understand that, right? Whether you walk into this church or you walk into the Good Shepherd Mission, If you don't know Jesus as your Savior in a personal way, then all you're doing is visiting us or visiting the church. So, of course, our mission as pastors or as any other Christian is a ministry of reconciliation. We're all supposed to be involved to reconcile people back to Christ, right? Whether you're a truck driver, whether you're out there doing whatever, a teacher, somewhere in the midst of your day, you're supposed to be guiding people somehow in words or actions that Jesus loves you and that you can be saved too. Now, I know that takes wisdom and guidance, but in our ministry, just to get to a little bit, so you have a little bit better understanding of what we do and how we do it, and maybe that will help you in your personal life. We deal with, you know, it's interesting that you showed the first tape about the, and one of our fellows talks about the seashell, right? How important that one is to God. And one of the things that I found in ministry, and I have to deal with a lot of things that I can really apply personally because I'm dealing with a lot of probably what Jesus would see and deal with on a regular basis. You know, lepers and people in trouble and people sick and people dying. I mean, they're all coming into our door every single day. That's our whole clientele. Nobody's coming to the Good Shepherd Mission saying, I'm as healthy as can be and I'm really doing good. Can I come in? I'm saying, you're in the wrong place, brother. You need to go like to the Hilton Hotel or something up the street. So most of the time when people come, they're coming because they're in a great amount of trouble. And that's why we're here, you know, because people are in trouble, either mentally, you know, emotionally, spiritually, physically, broke down because sin has so impacted their lives. I'm a witness to that. Years ago, God brought me up out of that kind of thing. And I know what it means to be broke and to be lost and to be hurting and to be sick, to be alone, and to wonder, is there any way out of this situation that I'm in? Because you can really feel like, boy, can anybody really change me? And you start to rely on doctors and psychologists and all these things and read self-help books. And I started to search, you know, I love those self-help books. Just help yourself. And I'm going, I can't help myself. What are you talking about? And so I knew that it took more than that for me. It really was going to take, right back to my roots I went. I was brought up a Catholic. Some people think, oh, the Catholics. Well, the Catholics planted the seed of the gospel in my heart. So I'm forever grateful for the Catholics. And somehow that brought me back to my roots. And I always knew that there was Jesus and there was nobody quite like him. You can try to explore other things all you want, but there's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. And when you call upon that name, you'll know something different is happening. And so I knew that, and God began to work circumstances in my life, and I really think that salvation is really kind of like a good part of God arranging things. And he kind of put me in a place where I was really broken, and I needed to be saved. And if anybody says, well, what's going on at the mission? Like, I should come in here and have some list of all the people that get saved there, and I really don't think that that's necessary or really good to do that. But I can tell you this, if you really want to see a lot of people saved, be in a place where there's a lot of people in great need. I don't have to explain to you that when you want, if you really want to get saved, need to be saved. I think it was Psalm 116 that the psalmist said, when I was in great trouble and sorrow, the cords of death entangled me. I said, Lord, save me. When I was in great need, he said, the Lord saved me. You know when I got saved? When I was in great need. That's why Jesus talked about the rich man and how hard it is for a rich man. You know, if you don't really need to be saved, it's hard to save people. So if God is putting you in a place in life where there's a lot of trouble and things going on, it usually his way of drawing you close to him. Because, you know, we never really want to get that close to God until something happens, right? And all of a sudden we're drawn close to God again, crying out to God, God, heal me. God, heal my son. God, and all of a sudden we're being drawn to God. And that need seems to be a thing that really is a blessing and it really changed my life. So we're dealing with people that are in great need. And one of the things that I found in dealing with quickly is that I had to begin to see things the way Jesus could see things if I was ever going to really change people's lives. Now, just so that we understand, Good Shepherd Mission, people coming in our door are coming in with all kinds of problems and issues. The one guy that you saw had seen on there, the big black guy, he had a murder rap. He had murdered somebody. So we have murderers, liars, cheaters, adulterers, abusers, every kind of sin you can imagine If you walk in the door, nobody's going to say, you did that? Matter of fact, everybody's going to say, big deal. You're in an environment where we all have done things that are just as worse almost. So there's every bit of feeling comfortable with being in a place like the Good Shepherd Mission. A matter of fact, when we have our outreaches in the summer, we'll have up to 400 people come into our backyard. Not people from the neighborhoods, I'm talking about prostitutes, all kinds of people that would have a real hard time stepping into church because they have a tendency to believe you're going to be judged as soon as you come in. But when you come into the property of the Good Shepherd Mission, it's like we just wrap our arms around you. You know, this is what Jesus came for, right? To make people feel welcome. And in Luke chapter 15, I'll talk a little bit about how I had to really begin to see people, because if you're not careful, it's so easy to judge sin rather than minister to them and get them out of sin. Because, you know, when you're looking at people, you're going, oh, I didn't do that sin. Or how can we help this guy? He's just he's always angry. He's never cooperating. Let's just get rid of him. And you go, well, that's what the world does, right? Sometimes that's what your mom and dad did to an extent, if you weren't brought up with people that were patient. So now we have to do things in a way in the love of God that's going to show that there's a different way. So how do I do that? And how are men trained in our ministry to look at people in a different way? And I would tell you one of the main scriptures that really affected my ministry, of me as a minister, was the parable of what I would call of the lost. It's a known scripture. Most of you have heard the parable of the lost, right? It really is broke down in three different ways. A lost sheep, lost coin, prodigal son, right? Well, why is that important? Because when Jesus was sitting there at that moment, religious leaders were looking at him and they were saying, why is he welcoming and eating with sinners? In other words, why was he making them feel welcome? Like, it's okay for you to sit with me and it's okay for me to eat with you and make you feel comfortable. And the religious attitude was, they shouldn't be doing that, because what he should have been doing as a holy man is staying away from them. But yet when Jesus came, he made them feel welcome. So if he were to come today, probably one of the places you would see him in would be like the Good Shepherd Mission. Because when I'm sitting there, a lot of times I'm eating and welcoming sinners just like Jesus would in that moment. In other words, everybody was a sinner. Everybody that's coming in the door is doing God knows what. Some of it I don't even know, because we have in our shelter almost 40 to 45 people coming in a two-hour period every night. They have to be showered. They have to be ministered to. We have chapel every single night. Nobody stays there one night without going to chapel. So we make sure they're hearing the gospel. The chapel is not an option. You have to go to chapel if you stay at the Good Shepherd Mission. Sometimes people will say, I'm a Muslim. I said, you're welcome to be a Muslim, but you have to go to chapel. And they'll have to sit there. And so sometimes we've had Muslims, of course, you hear the gospel can break you down. The love of God can change your mind about the religion or philosophy you might have. And so Jesus spoke about lost, and I had to begin to view people as, well, this person is a murderer, this person is this. When Jesus explained it, he said, I wasn't looking at them as they're tax collectors and sinners, but I'm going to tell you what I see. I'm seeing lost people. And he went on to describe a little bit of how he sees lost. One, he sees them as lost sheep, right? He even went to point out, he said, if one of you had 100 sheep and one went away and wandered off and got lost, what would you do? In other words, how much would you care about one if that one wandered off? And this was all about God trying to reveal to us how much he cares about one soul, right? And he used the sheep as an example for one thing, because sheep are kind of, probably simple as far as animals go, right? Now we have a dog here. You've seen our dog. We've taken our little puppy for training probably for 3 months, and we're finally getting her to sit down and go to the mat and walk the right way. But most of the time, she doesn't want to listen, unless you bribe her with a treat or something. Now, I've never seen anybody tell a sheep, go to your mat and sit down and do this or that. They just don't seem like they're the kind of animals that you would train and that you'd be able to do that. Unless somebody has seen that, I don't know. Why? Because I think their mindset is they're just so simple. They have a tendency to wander off, apparently, and not even know they're lost. So what happens is Jesus said, you know, you can't even expect the sheep to come back. Literally, the man had to go out and get the sheep, pick the sheep up, carry it home, and then bring it back, and then celebrate, not because the sheep came back so much, but because he went out and rescued the sheep to begin with. So the celebration is in salvation. He said, you know, more people, if one person repents, there'll be more celebrating in heaven, more celebration in heaven when over one sinner that repents. And so when I'm looking at people, I'm going, just, okay, you have all these sins you're dealing with, but how do I get you to understand where you're lost at? Are you the kind of person that just wandered off? You know, we get people that come to the mission and they're saying, yeah, I was in San Francisco 3 years ago, then I went to Georgia, I'm going, where do you live? Well, I'm just wandering around and aimlessly, and I'm going, when are you going to settle down and find out who you are? People are just lost that way. They don't even know they're lost. They think it's normal just to wander around and float around in life. But when they come to the Good Shepherd, I think the shock and realization of the gospel and the word of God has to come in such a way where you have to say, stop. God has a plan for your life. God loves you. But you've got to slow down a little bit so that he can get through to you. And so God is trying to rescue you, but you keep moving back and forth and going everywhere, every which way. So sometimes it's that, how do you get through to a person that's kind of just aimlessly walking around and not even knowing that, like a sheep, you know, a sheep has no defense mechanisms. They can't run like a rabbit. They have no claws. So your life is at stake out there, because unless you come in, unless you let the Lord bring you in, I can't even tell you how many people that we deal with. We see great victory when we see testimonies, but there are people that perish a lot in the people that we deal with. We had a guy in our program, probably there 2 months. I believe he was saved, got a little money saved, decided I'm going to go out there. Mom calls, you know, we're burying so-and-so this weekend. And you just step back and you go, why did he leave? We take for granted, taking God's grace in vain, the opportunity God gives us. And everybody was saying, don't leave. It could be your last. But you know what? Sometimes that happens. The importance of accepting God's grace when we're supposed to accept it and receive it. Jesus talked about a lost coin. He talked about a woman who loses a coin in the house. And I really think that's a picture of people who get lost in the house. They get lost on a dirty floor, kind of. And a woman has to go searching and sweeping. And we know Jesus is just trying to just give us a picture of what the church should do and what we should do in searching out, and what God does to search out the type of people that are lost in the house. I was brought up with 7 kids in our family. I know people that are more, and I kind of felt like I got lost in the house. Now, I had a good, fairly good mother and father, but if you were to say, did I really understand life by their mentoring? I just really didn't get it. And I love my mom and dad, but I think I just missed something there. I always felt like I was the lost one in the family. Maybe some of you feel the same way. And do I kind of relate to a lot of when Jesus talks about being lost in almost every single way? I knew that, you know, if you're lost, you're lost, and you need to be found. And the whole point of Scripture is not so much in the lost factor, it's in the found factor. In every instance, the person or coin had to be searched out. The sheep had to be went and found out. The coin had to be searched out. And everything that Jesus is looking at is saying, listen, it takes searching and seeking and finding. A ministry like ours, you can't give up easily. You have to search and seek and find. You have to bear with people. For some people, for 20 years, people will come in and out. That one person that was up in the, he graduated 3 times before he got it together. Say, Mike, when do you give up on people? Well, you never give up on people. When did Jesus give up on people? When did he say, stop forgiving people? Say, that's a tough one, because, I mean, don't they take advantage of you by keep coming back? Then I tell guys, I came back 3 times, and I'm the pastor. So if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. I don't know how many times it's going to take for a person to come back and for you to bear with them. And is God doing a work? Now, do we make life hard or our salvation hard by our decision making? I believe we do. Some way or another, I yielded to God in a moment where it changed my life. And all I can do is suggest to guys, stop making life hard. Just yield your whole life to God. You don't have to keep coming back and forth to the mission. But it is God who seeks and saves the lost. And we know the story of the prodigal son is mainly about a son who goes out, squanders his brother's inheritance because it's something that he shouldn't have gotten to begin with, ends up in a foreign land. There's a famine in the land, and he ends up in a pig pen. For a Jew, that's not a good place to be in. He can't even eat the pods from the pigs. But the Bible says that he came to himself, and as a son, he knew something, right? He knew he could go back. Now, when I look at the prodigal son, I'm thinking, you know, the sheep, the man had to go and get the sheep. The woman had to search for the coin. But the prodigal son, well, he decided to go back. But then I remembered, Jesus said, nobody can come to me who the Father has sent unless the Father draws them. So did the prodigal son go back because he decided to go back, or was he drawn by the Father to come back? I would say that unless the Father was drawing him back, he wouldn't have come back. Because when you read that whole story, you know the Father was waiting for him and ran out to greet him. And when he came back, grace was there to greet him, and he didn't have to work for anything. Ring was put on his finger, cloak was put on him, sandals on his shoes. There was a celebration, and the father said, my son was lost, and now he's found. He was dead, and now he's alive. And there's this wonderful celebration of how God loves the lost. He doesn't view, well, a drug addict came home. He didn't say. He didn't say, an alcoholic came home or a murderer came home. He said, my son was lost. It's so much easier to deal with people when you go, they're just lost. I mean, we have people come into mission. I mean, you have to understand our environment. There are prostitutes walking around the streets at times. Oh, they're just in awful shape. The young girls, they look like they're 50 and they're like 24. Now, when you're looking at them, you don't go, oh, that broken down drug addict. Almost every time I say something like, she's so lost. I mean, there's no other way to put it. She's just lost. She doesn't know what she's doing. She has no idea how to get out of what she's in. So the answer is always in, how do you get somebody out of it into a place where they understand and see how to get out of that sin that they're in. So when Jesus viewed things, he was saying, listen, all the sinners that I'm sinning with, tax collector sinners, they're just lost. And now I'm going here to tell you that I'm here to seek and save those that are lost. So we have a lost sheep, lost coin, prodigal son. All of them are lost. It's a picture of all humanity. But in ending, I would say this, because I know we're starting to close here. Someone say, well, Mike, you know, the people are lost. You got to go out there and find them. And when I first started the ministry, I go, that guy left. Let's all get in the truck and go looking for that guy and bring him back here. And you know how long the person would stay? Maybe 3 hours, and they'd leave again. And I have people saying, let's do an intervention and we'll drag him over to the mission and make him stay there. And you go, okay. They didn't stay long. But then you have a person like Zacchaeus. I don't know if you remember his story. He's in, I think, Luke chapter 19. He's a little guy. He's a tax collector. He's wealthy. He's cheating all of God's people to get wealthy, but he sees Jesus and he wants to see him. He gets up on a sycamore tree, and all of a sudden Jesus is passing and something amazing happens. As soon as Jesus sees Zacchaeus, he says, I want you to come down here right now. I'm going to your house and I'm going to eat with you. And Zacchaeus says, okay, and goes right to his house. You go, wow, that was quick. I mean, they just met. I mean, was Zacchaeus looking for Jesus, or was Jesus looking for him? Because as soon as Jesus gets to his house, he says, you know what? I'm going to give half what I have to the poor. If I cheated anybody, I'm going to give them back four times what I owe them. And then Jesus says, you know, this is the true son of Abraham. And Jesus says this, because I came to seek and save those that are lost. So who was looking for who? See, I just try to tell guys, listen, you're at the mission here. You think that you're seeking God, but he's not lost. The only reason why you're here is because he's been looking for you. But he's trying to search you out. Maybe examine yourself a little bit and how you're lost. It helps. Did you wander off? Did you get lost in the house? Were you just a rebellious guy who just said, I'm going to do what I want to do? Either way, identify with the scriptures a little bit, and you'll realize that God is going to cause you to repent. And if he does, then you'll know that Jesus has come to get you and save you. Amen? Amen.
Okay. Mike, if you could just come over here for just a second. I kind of want to share something as a testimony. It's personal for me, and it was something I was thinking about. It's a scripture a lot of you are familiar with. It's in 2 Peter 3. 8 and 9, and we're real familiar with verse 9. And let me just read and just tell you where I'm coming from. Peter says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord isn't slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. I never saw those two verses this way. That God doesn't give up on people, and it doesn't matter how many years You know, oftentimes people talk about, you know, the 1,000 years and what does that mean and all that. But it's really kind of like saying God doesn't give up on people. And this is very personal to me because yesterday I was just sitting in, and I was trying to work on a message. And I was thinking about church. And I was thinking about how pastors have had the habit of talking about the size of their congregation. Are we growing? Are we shrinking? All that numbers jazz, which drives me bananas, especially when you have David in the Old Testament being warned by God, you shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that, and I started thinking about church, and I started thinking about how pastors often get introduced when they go to churches, because I'm going to be speaking at a friend's church next Sunday. And whenever pastors go somewhere else, they always talk about, oh, you know, it's a great, you know, he's done this, he's done that, and his church is this, and his church is that. And I was just before the Lord, and I started writing down about our church. I started with my own family, and I started to look at that, and I started to say, my word, look at us, look at all the brokenness within our families, within our, you know, relationships, within ourselves, and all of a sudden just realizing, but that's the church God loves.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Is all of us messed up, kind of, you know, I got to be careful, but you know what I mean? Just here we are, we're messed up people. So just because we're not up in Patterson,
amen.
Right? And maybe someone's here today, and that's a word that you needed to hear. God hasn't given up on you. And he's not going to give up on you. God is more than just the God of second chances. God is the God of multiple opportunities to come back and be restored to him. And for those of you who have, as parents, if you have kids or grandkids that might not be walking with the Lord, don't allow discouragement to destroy you. You just stay there on your knees and keep bringing them before God, you know? I'm glad none of my kids are in this service, because there have been days where I've said to Linda, why do we have four? You know? But I think those of you will understand what I mean, right? Be encouraged. Remember, with God, if God's willing to wait 1,000 years, he'll do the same for us. Let's pray for our brother. Father, we thank you for Mike's ministry and for his wife, Joan. We understand, Lord, she's not feeling well today. We pray, Lord, for healing in her body and health and strength for Mike as well, Lord. Thank you, Father, that your grace is so evident up there at the Good Shepherd Mission. And thank you, Lord. I believe we really received a word from you today. And Father, we confess to you when we see people and we characterize people by sin and forget to see the person. And Lord, help us to see the lost as you see them and to love them the way you love them. And continue, Father, to bless Mike and his ministry in the second service as well today. And thank you, Lord, we've been honored today to hear a word from your servant. So bless him, Lord Jesus. And in your name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks.